Amen. And thank you, Brother Cecil. Now, Acts is the book, the go-to book about baptism. It is. It has more about baptism than any of the New Testament books. And just to give you an example of what's there, the believers at Pentecost, it starts out verse 41 of chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine a baptismal service like that? I sure would have liked to have participated in that. So this is the book about baptism. And any question anybody might have related to baptism, you can find it in the teaching of the book of Acts. Not long ago, in talking to someone about the subject of baptism, I recommended they just sit down and read the book of Acts. And it answers a lot of questions related to that. So the believers at Pentecost is found in chapter 2 and verse 41. The converts at Samaria is found in 8:12. The Ethiopian eunuch is found in 8:38. Saul of Tarsus, his baptism is found in chapter 9 and verse 18. Lydia is found in chapter 16 and verse 15. The Philippian jailer and his family are found in 16, verse 33. The believers at Corinth is found in chapter 18 and verse 8. And the Ephesian disciples is found in chapter 19 and verse 5. So I looked at all of them, and it was a joy to read about those situations that are given us in this book. And so I picked one, and I guess that it is probably my favorite. So I'm going to share with you in the 8th chapter, chapter 8, and I'll begin reading in verse 26, and I'll make comment on the text as we go along. This is the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch, and so there's a bunch of good lessons that are found there. I'll start out by reading verse 26 in the first line of verse 27. And after Philip, the Bible talks about Philip in Samaria. The first part of the chapter is about Philip in the city of Samaria. Philip was one of the seven that was ordained, and so he ended up being a preacher of the gospel. He was a preaching deacon. I used to be the same thing years ago. I was a preaching deacon. I would fill in for my pastor or whatever I was called on to do. And so Philip was like that. And the Bible says in one place that calls him Philip the evangelist. So Philip really was an evangelist. And you can read about that in this 8th chapter. And it says in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. The first thing we find here is a minister of the gospel that was obedient to the Lord. In other words, God could use him. He could use him because he cared, and he was a minister of the gospel. And it goes on in verse 27 to say this, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, he had come to Jerusalem. What we have here is a seeker. You have someone who is seeking a right relationship with the Lord. And it says in verse 28, he was returning in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. So he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and so he's sitting in this desert. He's on his way home, and he is reading from the book of Isaiah. I don't know. It could be that in the worship experience that he had while he was in Jerusalem, that might have been brought to his attention or whatever. But I want to point out something that's interesting here. This man had come 1,500 miles in a chariot to worship the Lord. Now, that just impresses me. 1,500 miles he had traveled. That reminds me of the Queen of Sheba, who came to check out all the things that were going on with Solomon, and she had traveled 1,500 miles on a camel. And so you think about that. And so the next time you get in your car to go to church, say, thank you, Lord, that this, well, we might call it a chariot. You know, it is, in a sense, I guess, takes us where we need to go. But 1,500 miles in a chariot is nothing like traveling 1,500 miles in an automobile. So it's a little over, I think, 1,500 miles from right here to Florida. And I've made that trip in an automobile several times, preaching or whatever, and one time on a vacation, but several other times for preaching services. And as a matter of fact, the last time that I went down there for that, I missed Sue so bad that I jumped in my little tiny pickup truck that I had at the time, and I drove all the way through, just stopping to get gas. It didn't use no gas much, so I didn't have to stop much, but I wanted to get home. And so imagine going 1,500 miles to worship. And so that's what this man had done. He had gone there to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back, and he's in the desert, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. Now, he didn't have a New Testament, of course. All he had was the Old Testament. And, of course, we know that we have the gospel in the book of Isaiah. That is the book of the Old Testament that is about the gospel, primarily chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah is what we have. And this is where this man was reading. It goes on in verse 29 and says, then the Spirit said unto Philip. Now, here we go. We have another illustration of an obedient believer who is always ready to be used of the Lord in whatever way the Lord might see fit. And so the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? And so what a way to start a conversation and start a witness with to somebody. Do you know what it is you're reading? Do you understand what that says? Do you know what it means? And so he ran, it tells us that, and he's eager to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And so he joins himself to this eunuch's chariot and addresses whether or not he understands. And his response was this in verse 31, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And that reminds me of something I think we take for granted. You know, I think most of you that I'm talking to tonight, you have a pretty good grasp of the Scripture. You understand much of it, and I think sometimes we take it for granted that there's people out there that don't know the Bible. And I run into them all the time. I mean, I really do. People engage me in conversation in the community, and I engage them in conversation in the community. And wherever I am, if I'm not in the community, if I'm somewhere where nobody doesn't know me, I still engage people in conversation. You don't want to get on an elevator with me. Sue will tell you that. In a city where nobody knows me, because by the time we get up one floor or so, I've done got that guy nailed. And so it's fun to do that. It is a lot of fun to do that, to address somebody in those kind of conversations. And that's what this man says. And we need to understand. We need to understand that there's a lot of people out there in the world, they really don't know the Bible well. They may read something and they don't understand what it is they read. And so this is what the experience of this eunuch was, is that he was reading and he was in a good spot reading and he didn't understand what it was he was reading. And when we see that, when we believe that, and we're always ready in conversation with people, it's an awesome opportunity to help somebody maybe to understand something in the Bible. And, you know, if you practice this just a little bit, you'd be surprised how successful you can be in engaging somebody in a discussion of the Bible. And it's really interesting the different ways that you can do that and get somebody curious about something. And so it's a lot of fun to do that. And so we ought to make it a practice and understand there are people out there in the world that they don't know the Bible very well. I was talking to someone not long ago about something in the Bible, and they said to me, well, I guess I'm not very sound in the Word of God, you know, because they admitted they didn't know. And so it's a good opportunity to talk to people. And the Bible says this in verse 32 and 33, and the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And of course, where he was reading was Isaiah 53 and verse 7. That's where he was reading. And so that was an ideal place for him to be reading. It just subjected itself to the right questions or whatever for this. And keep in mind, you know, nothing is accidental or even incidental in life. I've just come to believe that everything that happens to us, and if we know the Lord as our personal Savior, everything that happens to us is on purpose. It has purpose in it, and God is in control of it. God knows all about us. He knows everything we need. And so I've come to the place in life where I don't believe that anything is an accident or incidental. The Lord brings things about according to His plan and His purpose. All things work together. I like that passage of Scripture. I've quoted it more in hospital rooms or wherever I get a chance to do it, more than any other passage in the Bible. No telling how many hundreds of times that I've quoted that. All things work together for good. For them that, number one, love Him, and number two, are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that wonderful? That is just full of awesome truth. And so all things really do work together for good for them that love Him. So there's no accident. It was no accident here in this text that this man was sitting there in the desert, nobody with him, couldn't understand what he was reading or who it was about is the subject. And so here he is, and all at once, here shows up Philip and jumps right in the chariot with him. That was no accident. It was providence at work. And aren't you thankful for a God that works by providence in our lives to accomplish His purpose in and through us? And that's a wonderful truth. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? That's a good question. That's an obvious question that he would ask related to that. Who's he talking about when he says this? Who's he talking about? And so, what an opportunity that it was for Philip. Because the next verse says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, so we already know what that passage is talking about, don't we? We know that. But we shouldn't take it for granted and think that everybody out there knows that. And so there are people maybe this very hour who may be looking at that same passage of Scripture and wondering the same thing. Who is it that Isaiah is talking about? And so it goes on and tells us in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, you say, well, preacher, do you know what it was that Philip preached about to this man? Well, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing I do know. In the conversation, he talked to this man about baptism. He talked to him about baptism and how important baptism is. Baptism is a profession of faith. That's what it is. And it's the opportunity to confess Christ as our Savior and to be one with Him in His death and in His burial and in His resurrection to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is. And Sister Sandra tonight is going to enter the baptismal waters, and she don't have to talk. I've told her, I asked her a couple questions. She all has to do is nod her head, And that may be hard for her, you know, but that's all she needs to do, is not in the affirmative, because I'll ask her if she knows for sure. I'm going to ask her what this eunuch asked Philip, what hinders me from being baptized? And you know what he said, don't you? He said this, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I told Sandra I was going to ask, that was the way I was going to ask her. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus died for you? Amen? And so that's how we are saved. And he said, and thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So what did Philip preach to him? Well, he preached to him about Jesus. He preached to him, told him who he was. He told him all about what he come to this earth for. He told him about his eternal purpose in all of that. And he also taught him about the subject of baptism. And so, no wonder he asked that question. He asked that question because he had been instructed in that this is exactly what a Christian ought to do. A believer ought to be baptized. That's what the Bible teaches. All of these illustrations that we have in the book of Acts about baptism, and I went through them with you, and if you want to know what all they are, you ask me at the end of the service, and I'll give you the list of all of the places it's there. And that is what a child of God should do. We believe on him, we confess him as our Lord and Savior, then we follow him in the ordinance of baptism and membership in a gospel church. That's what it's all about. And there's no other way. That's the right way. That's what the Bible teaches. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he is who you said that he is. And verse 38, I think we have taught in verse 38 the right way to baptize somebody. And the Bible says this, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Well, preacher, surely he could have just dipped his finger in the water and sprinkled it on his head, and that would have took care of it. That would have been baptism. Oh, no, it's not baptism. It's not baptism. Or he could have caught some in the palm of his hand and just poured it over his head, sprinkling and pouring his baptism. No, it's not baptism. The very word it's used in the scripture, the very word is not sprinkling and it's not pouring. The very word is baptism by immersion. And so I've told you the story about that time that someone had asked me to baptize them in another church, and they cleared that with the church and with the pastor. He had made a profession in that church, but he wanted me to baptize him. And so they agreed to let me baptize him, and I went there on a Sunday afternoon, and I got a surprise. I'd never seen it before. The preacher don't get in the water. He stands in the back of the baptistry, and the person being baptized gets in the baptistry, and the only thing I got wet was from my elbows down. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like it at all. If I had it to go over again, I'd say, oh no, I'm getting in there with you, buddy. I'm getting in there with you. And so a baptism, the right method of baptism, is set forth in this passage of Scripture, and it is by immersion. And what you're going to see tonight, you're going to see the preacher get right in there with her and baptize her, and that's the way that I think it ought to be done, and I like it that way. And in verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, they went down into the water, and they both came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. It's a good day. It's a blessed ordinance. I love it. I love the ordinances, both of them, and the lessons that we're taught in them, and the opportunity that we have to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the ordinances. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to worship him through this ordinance of baptism. And so, if you'll bow with me, I'll close the study at this point. Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you for what we're taught in it. I thank you, dear God, that you chose to speak to this foreign individual and bring him 1,500 miles so he could have this experience. And have, there's an old saying, it says, where God guides, God provides. And so we see that God did provide for this humble man who was seeking a right walk with you. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for all the lessons that is in this story. Now bless us, Lord, as we continue with this worship experience. We'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, Brother Ricky's going to come and lead everybody in some singing as we both get ready to go down into the water together. And so, Sandra, you can go on back here where your little station is, and I'll go to my little station. It won't take me long to change my clothes. If you're sitting somewhere where you can't see, you can move where you can see. We used to move the pulpit and everything, but we don't do that anymore. We let you move yourself. It's a lot easier. So we're going to get this taken care of.